Our sermon today is based on a reading from John chapter 19, verses 28 through 30. After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, in order to fulfill the scripture, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there, so they put a sponge full of the wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the wine, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Thank you, God, that we can turn over to you the sour things in our lives and let you refresh and renew and redeem them. Oh no, you're thinking, there she goes again. Here it is, almost Christmas, and Tanya's talking about Easter. Well, sorry, not sorry. I like to throw in an Easter resurrection sermon at various points in the year every now and then to keep us on our toes, so we remember who we are and what we are about. We're Easter people. May we never forget that. And as well, we are wrapping up our look at the taste senses, sweet, salty, sour, and bitter. And this scene from the crucifixion fits in well with that focus. You know, it could be said that Jesus' life ended on a sour note. After all he had done, all his miracles, all his teachings, all his loving touches, and all his heartfelt prayers, it all came down to this, to death on a cross, execution as a criminal. Everyone who had counted on him to make a difference in the world, and his Jewish followers thought that meant he would overthrow their Roman conquerors, everyone who had their own ideas of just what a Messiah was supposed to be and do was now sour and disappointed. How could God's chosen one end up on a cross? This was not how they envisioned the outcome of his advent. But those people then, the same as we people today, didn't have any insight into God's ultimate plan. They didn't know that this bitter moment that left a sour taste in their mouths was actually going to make all our lives sweeter and neater. I would venture to say that this is the ultimate test of trust and faith. Not knowing what God plans to do and still being able to say, as Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before this auspicious day, to say, "Not my will, O God, but thine." Being able to endure the agony and the humiliation and the pain because you know on the other side there is redemption, hope, resurrection. For the people watching, they thought it was a sour hour, but it really was an hour of power. This crucifixion was not something that was done to Jesus against his will and without his knowledge. He knew from the beginning that this was his destiny, to die for the sins of humankind in order to bring us back to God, to gain for us the forgiveness and the erasure of our sins that we could never manage to do by ourselves. Jesus said it himself, "I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again." So even as everyone thought it was the end, it was really just the beginning. And we have to give a shout out for Jesus' humanity. He knew what it would be like to go to the cross, and he didn't want to do it. Who would willingly want to undergo such a torturous death? Would you? Jesus would have to subsume his holiness and take on a fuller humanity to experience pain and suffering, to know what it was like to live outside of God's will and God's care. Of course, he could have ended his agony at any moment. He could have parlayed the pain and bypassed it. That was another part of Gethsemane prayer, another display of his human side. He said, "Father, take this cup from me," but he knew what he had to do. He had to drink that cup. He had to take on the weight of humanity's sins and stand it without miraculous intervention. He had to endure it all. When he was on the cross, the soldiers offered him a pain-numbing drink of wine mingled with myrrh. And myrrh, of course, was one of the gifts that the Magi brought him at the beginning of his life. And now it was being offered to him at the end of his earthly life. But he refused it. He was determined to feel his fate, every rip of every sinew, every ache of every muscle, every tear of every wound. He would see it through to the end. As he felt his life draining from his body, he had the strength enough to utter some of his final words, "I thirst, I am thirsty." During executions, the Roman soldiers kept a jar of sour wine, in reality vinegar, nearby to moisten the victim's lips. This sour-tasting concoction was a common drink for soldiers. It was not an opiate like the wine in myrrh. It was ordinary wine that was drunk by ordinary people who couldn't afford anything better. And in tasting it, Jesus took on our ordinariness and became the Savior we need. He became just like us. He said, "I thirst," but the sour wine didn't quench Jesus' thirst at all. Jesus spoke these simple words after his anguished cry that we heard in today's psalm, my God, why have you forsaken me?" For the first time, he experienced real and total separation from God. He had become sin, not just a symbol of sin, but the actual accrual of all humanity's sins, past, present, and future. And he knew God was too holy to look upon sin, and so God had to turn away from him. The ache of the spiritual abandonment was real and even more painful than the physical pain he felt, but it was almost over. A sponge was soaked with the sour wine, then it was raised to Jesus' lips on a hyssop branch, another symbolic nuance we mustn't miss. Hyssop was used to paint the blood of the lamb on the lintels of the Hebrews' doors on the night they fled Egypt. Exodus 12:22 says, "And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin." This was the sign to the angel of death to pass over this particular house and spare the firstborn inside. Perhaps people didn't know it then, but Jesus had become the Passover lamb whose blood saved and sealed and cleansed and healed. Hyssop was also used to make the javelins that Roman soldiers used, so perhaps this hyssop branch was also the one that pierced Jesus' side after he died, making blood and water pour out from his body, symbolic of how he poured out his life for us. Perhaps another verse from another psalm came into Jesus' mind, Psalm 69:21, which says, "In my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink." They didn't care about what he might need or what he might want. They didn't go the extra step and try to find something better or more tasteful to give him. It was rather like, "Take this and just shut up. You don't deserve anything better." For John, this was another fulfillment of prophetic scripture. Jesus was determined to drink the full cup of God's wrath without sugarcoating it or being anesthetized to the truth and the pain. The one taste of the sour wine Jesus took became the signal that showed his work was done. Having accomplished everything the Father had tasked him to do, he could bow his head in peace. Whatever may have been soured in his last few moments was miraculously turned into promise and perfection. The work was done. It was finished, as Jesus himself said. But again, it was not the end. It was just the beginning. There was more to come, although his followers didn't know that right then. But we do. We live in the hope of Easter and resurrection. We live with the assurance that though weeping and suffering may endure for a day or a night or for years, joy will come in the morning. God's plan will be performed and perfected. Jesus thirsted to have that wonderful relationship with God back when he knew what God wanted and worked with God intimately. He never wanted to feel forsaken ever again. We thirst like Jesus for wholeness and healing and light and love. As we work and wait, we refuse the mind-numbing mixture of myrrh in order to keep our thoughts clear and our minds focused on the tasks ahead. We are going to see this through just as Jesus did. That taste of sour wine enabled him to make his last loud cry, "It is finished." It was a cry of victory. We will taste the sour wine, but we will not let it make us sour or bitter. We know better. We will do better. We will be better. Into God's hands we commit our causes, our spirits, our very lives. The sour wine will not take us down. Indeed, paradoxically, it will invigorate us to endure and stand strong and remember all the promises God has made to protect us, preserve us, and welcome us home. Let us pray. God, may the endearing, enduring spirit of Christ be now upon us. We taste the bitterness and the sourness that are part of life, but we do not become bitter and sour ourselves. We remember the sweet promises that you have made and the willingness of Christ to die in order to redeem us. For these blessings, we are grateful and humble. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.